Hey, I'm Lydia Isnanto, and this is Dreampreneurs Chat. It's a show where I chat with dream chasers all around the world who make their passion their paycheck, loving the risk they took and the job they do. On this show, I chat with Deborah Whitby, who has been featured in local publications, quoted in several national publications, and won the Rising Star category of the Women's Way Business Awards. She was also named one of 99 limit-breaking female founders by Thrive Global.
So I think the challenge for women is to learn how to combine what you're passionate about and what makes you feel whole and excited as a person with how you can make money so that you can have the great impact that women are here to have and that we all want to have on our family and our community and on ourselves.
Deborah's mission is always for everyone to live out their potential, and she believes it starts with running a profitable business. For a self-made woman like
me. Thank you so much for tuning in. And today we have the honor for Deborah Whitby, the CEO and owner of Austin Plumbery, women-owned plumbing company. It's literally a male-dominated industry here in Austin, right?
Oh yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere in the whole world. So it's really exciting to hear how her journey and her story. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about you and how did you start and also your passion.
For sure. So I started as a high school teacher, actually, is where my career path started. And my father's a plumber. He's always been a plumber for as long as I can remember. And so he had started a business for himself, really, which was a job for himself, you know, really what it was, here in Austin. Yeah. So he was doing that and I was teaching, but then I decided that I wanted to do something different. I had started a family and some things changed in my personal life. So I decided to go in with my dad and take over that family business. Granted, it was just him, but turn it into a full-blown, you know, operating business model and everything, and put a brand to it, just do everything brand new. So that's how I got started in the plumbing company. So I say if my father had been an electrician, I probably would have had an electrical company right now.
Right.
So it was based on his trade and his skill that I went in that route.
Mm. But mm-hmm. Did you go to school as well for this?
So to start a plumbing company, you need a master plumber, which is my father. So to operate, he needs to be a licensed master plumber. I don't have any education in business or anything like that. My education is in education. So that's why I was a high school teacher. And my work experience background is in managing like financial operations and things like that. So I had the financial job experience, but my education was in teaching.
I'm really curious. So you have been looking at your father, what he's doing since you're really young.
Right.
So since when you start to know, hey, this is so exciting, you know, this is something that I really want to do for my life or something like that?
Never. Yeah. No, I never thought that. I never thought that until I started my family and I was, you know, turning 30.
Okay.
So yeah, him being a plumber, I still had my trajectory for my life. I still knew I wanted to be a math teacher. I wanted to do that, you know, and I stayed on that path. So it wasn't until kind of I started getting into personal development, I started wanting more flexibility, more money. And then, like I said, having my son, you know, kind of changed a lot of those things. So that's when I was like, okay, what opportunities are out there? What can I do? And I didn't go straight to that concept. I thought about opening like a fashion boutique. I thought about, and I researched in that. And then I thought about doing eyelash extensions. So I was really trying to chase what I was passionate about at that time, which had a lot to do with beauty and fashion. And so I tried those things. I even did a bookkeeping business because I was like, well, I'm good with money and numbers. So I dabbled in a few different things during that time before really realizing the opportunity that there was to create, you know, a legacy, you know, family business.
So in the whole family, are you the only one who working on this My
husband is one of the plumbers.
Okay.
My sister's.
I think I saw that in your Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because you guys have the same surname.
Right. Right. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Right. And my sister is now recently came on into the office as one of the dispatchers, and then of course my father is one of the plumbers.
Is there any challenge working with family? I mean, before that you were working, you know, outside, right, in the corporate world, you know, by yourself.
Right.
So now you're working with company as in like the whole of the people are your family.
Right.
So how does it feel?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a different dynamic there. And I just constantly have to recreate those boundaries and reinforce the boundaries. And I always tell them, like, business is business. I mean, even, you know, she's probably gonna watch this, right? But my sister, even when, you know, I hired her, I'm like, you're on a probationary period. This isn't just like, oh, this is our business. Of course you can come in. Like, there was interviews with her too, a couple of interviews. We have a probation period. I even extended her probation period. Just, you know, I just basically, to answer your question, is I have to operate it as a business, you know, and granted it's a family business, so I'm not trying to run the entire family out of it, right? So there is that balance of, you know, we're building something together, but at the end of the day, you know, we have to put the oxygen mask on our business first, because if I don't protect the well-being of the business, none of us are going to have anything to be a part of, right? So yeah, it's challenging, and especially with my husband at home, you know, making sure it's hard not to always be talking about work or, so yeah, that's an ongoing challenge that takes a lot of, intention behind, yeah.
Before your husband joined and your sister joined, you are the only one with your father, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
So yeah, so my husband was a plumber,
yeah. And
so he was, you know, kind of doing his own thing, but he was still in the plumbing industry,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So yeah, but it was before I brought my sister on and things like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you go into this male in dominatory industry, you know, like as in you as a powerful women, mm-hmm. and you go to a meeting, you know, you suggest
right.
something, you know, you give presentations, you know, how mm-hmm. make those deals?
Yeah. Right. So it's more like about negotiating the contracts and things like that. And I believe that people perceive you the way you perceive yourself. So I don't even think about it, to be honest. Like when I show up, it's like, hey, I'm here. I know what I'm doing. I'm competent. I have the facts. I know I've done the homework, right? I know what I'm bringing to the table. So there's a certain level of confidence that comes with competency. And so I feel like when I'm in those situations, it's almost like a non-issue. I don't notice. I mean, I don't know what's going on in their heads, you know? I don't know what they're thinking. They could be thinking whatever, right? But, you know, that's irrelevant to me. So, yeah, I don't get that pushback as much as you would think. The only time I think I really felt that was when I went to go buy the plumbing vans. Like I had to go into the car dealerships and purchase the plumbing vehicles. And one particular salesman was like, oh, so you're in this with your husband, right? And I'm like, no, you know, I'm, you know, the owner. That's why I'm here by myself to purchase the van, you know? And I'm like holding back all the sarcasm, right? And so then he's like, again, says it later, you know? And I'm like, if this guy says this again, like I'm leaving for sure. Obviously, I'm not giving you my money. So, and that's what happened. He said it a few times that he was just kind of like, you're going to test drive. I'm like, it's just a van. Yes, I can drive. I can test drive a van, you know? So that was the one time that sticks out to me that I feel like the male dominated industry was kind of like, you know, okay, well, where's your husband though? Where is he really? And I'm like, you're killing me. Anyway, So, but it's just about how you carry yourself, what you think about yourself, mm-hmm. and you show up in rooms and you show up to negotiations and you show up in meetings, you know, construction, general contractors, it's all men. Working with the city of Austin, when I have to go into the permitting center, it's all men, you know? So it's just about how you feel about yourself and showing up that you admit that that confidence when you show up in rooms.
And all the project that you're doing in Austin?
Oh yeah, we're local.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is the most challenging project that you have ever done in Austin so far?
The Driscoll Hotel, without a doubt. We did it wasn't difficult for me. It was difficult for the guys. So they were in they had to redo a grease trap in the bottom. So basically all the cooking and everything in those commercial kitchens that's going on in the Driscoll, like behind the scenes, all the grease and the grease traps, I mean, they're trapping the grease, right? So there was literally like layers of grease this thick with like roaches, rodents, just all over. And the guys are having to crawl because they're these low crawl spaces. So that was disgusting. And they still talk about how disgusting that was. So that was like, in terms of difficulty doing the actual work, that one. Wow. So I know. I'm like, sorry about that.
Wow, Driscoll. Wow, that's really, yeah. That's really challenging.
You don't realize what's under there or back there. Yeah. You know, when you're just like staying there or attending an event there, you don't really realize what's going on.
And you
on.
Can't, like, you can't change the design, right? As in, because it's there already is a historical kind of a building or structure, like you can change some of the part or something that.
Yeah. So it's the plumbing. It's the underneath. We didn't do like design work or anything, but it's underneath. Okay. Yeah, the plumbing, the old piping, things like that.
You don't need to design the whole thing of. Okay, we need to design the whole thing of the.
No, it's not like a remodel or anything like that.
Okay,
no.
Okay. All right. So you work more like with the construction vendors and all that outside.
Yeah. So property management companies, apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. When there's a big leak in the parking lot, you know, in an apartment complex. So it's a lot of commercial repair place. And then it's the residential repair place. So just your typical water heaters, garbage disposals. That's half of our business also. And then we do a little bit of light new construction. So like we just finished building like an allergy clinic. So, well, I mean, they build the clinic and we did the plumbing for the clinic. So there's some new construction. So it's kind of everything, but the majority is commercial repair replace. And then the residential repair replace. Yeah.
All right. So, I believe that this audience, a lot of them are business women business owner, and you are also women business owner, and you have a family, you have son. So what are the tips that you're doing, you know, like to balance your life being a women business owner with your career, and also to balance with family life and also with your son? I mean, how to, is there any habits that you do to discipline in terms of timing to separate, how to separate the timing on what time to what time, or which day being with son, being the job, you know, how to balance it, you know?
Yeah. So I think it's priorities, like being clear on what your priorities are. And my son's not less of a priority on a Tuesday when I have a big meeting, right? So he's always at the top of my mind, as is my husband and just our family wellness. So it's like, if I know that that's always the priority, then I address that first. And it doesn't mean that I'm the one picking up my son every day. You know, if work isn't interfere, it's like, okay, but I make sure that's taken care of first. Right. So, who's going to pick him up? And is it going to be me? What are we going to do with him in the evening? What do we have time for? Maybe we just, need to do a quick run in the park really quick and that's it, you know? So being, aware of kind of top of mind what your priorities are. And then at some point, yeah, your business is a large priority. You know, we got to make money. We're trying to grow, things like that. So having that clear for the people around you. And if you don't have a family, maybe you don't have a husband or a kiddo, but you have friends or you have other things that are vying for your time, you know, bringing your community into that awareness of what's going on with you. Like, hey, you know, I'm just starting this business, or our business is at a point where we're really growing right now. It takes more attention, that constant communication where it's like, because if they're your friends, for example, you just like, hey, I need you not, you know, calling me every night to go to happy hour because I'm going to go if you ask, you know, I don't have willpower. So being communicating with them like, hey, I'm going to be working on my business this week. Take me off the group chat for happy hours, you know, and people will support you. Or if you have a family, you know, I always have to tell my husband, this is like a heavy week for me being out of the house. There's a lot of, whether it's a networking event, evening events. Is like can become an issue, you know, because I feel like it's an issue because I'm out of the house a lot, you know. So it's arranging dinner, making sure that they have dinner there, or, you know, that my husband's taking care of dinner or whatever. It's a lot of orchestrating things, you know. So when I feel like I'm getting at capacity, you know, I just communicate with my husband. I'm like, I'm gonna be gone 3 days this week, and then I make up for it in my own way later. In my mind, I'm like, okay, on my calendar, like I'm not doing a couple of weeknight events. I'm going to be home more, you know? So it's just this ebb and flow and being aware and communicating with the people around you. Like, this is where my priorities are this week, you know, because they're different than they were last week, you know? So this is where I am this week. You know, how can you support me? And what do you need from me? Where are you at? And how can I support you this week? Oh, you need me home a little bit more because you have this going on. Okay, let's figure that out, you know? And so it's clear in priorities and communication is what I would say. Yeah, and then just being unapologetic. Like there's some level of me that's like, this is how it is, you know? Like, I'm gonna communicate. You, husband, are my priority, and kiddo, Maddox, you know? I don't tell him that, but so yes, you're the priority, but to some extent, you have to put a stake, like, I have to do this, you know, I'm doing this today. And it's not a, oh, so you're telling them, not asking, or, you know, but there has to be some level of you just being okay with where you are and sticking to that and not being swayed by everybody's opinion, your own guilt, you know.
So to you as a person, as a business owner, what is the one thing that you like the most doing this, and what is the challenge to you as a person, as a business owner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stay right there and we will be right back.
The one thing I like about it the most is knowing that I'm creating a life, my life exactly the way I want it to be. In control of my income, you know, that I'm in control of my time, obviously, flexibility. And just knowing that I'm actively, I feel like I'm literally designing my life with my business. Or that my business enables me to design my life, right? So that's, yes, like I said, financially with time and experience and opportunities, you know, being able to speak to different people, meet different people, help other people. And just knowing that we're creating something, in my case, as a family, right, that can impact other people, the lives of our employees, too. And just knowing, like, this greater sense of knowing that you're creating your life exactly the way you want it so that you can give and be generous, like, in the ways that you want to. And the challenges. As a business owner, I know sometimes I'm like, do I have a sign on my forehead that says, bring me all the issues? Because it's like once you figure one thing out, it's like having a kid. If you have a kid, and you ever plan to have a kid, it's like right when you think you got something figured out, you know, they turn another year older and now they, you know, are crazy. So I feel like business, the largest challenge with business is just when you feel like you get it kind of figured out, there's something else. Just when you're like, okay, you get into your groove of figuring out how to make sales or something like that. Okay, we're making money, we're getting clients. And then it's like, oh, now how do we manage this money? Okay, we kind of got that figured out. You know, we're profitable. Oh, well, now we need to bring on team, you know, because now I need an assistant or something. So then you figure that, then you have team, you know, and then it's like, oh, now we got to figure out how to manage people, how to have the company culture, make sure that everyone is in integrity and, you know, operating within the company culture. So it's this ever evolving, like revolving door of different challenges. But I mean, that's why we're business owners, you know, because we're made for this kind of stuff, you know? And the second piece I probably would say is that's a challenge is mindset, like keeping up with your mindset and kind of constantly evolving your mindset to match the meeting demands of on your time, on the balance, on the issues, you know? It's like it could, it can really get you down. It can discourage you. It can make you lose your confidence, you know, if you're not constantly doing the inner work and relying on something greater than yourself. So
in terms of support system, you know, like as a, especially women business owner, how do you find support for, you know, in time you need level up yourself or in time you're burnt out, you know, like do you have mentor or do you, or where do you learn new skill or something? You know?
Right. Yeah. So I would say that the biggest thing is to know that the responsibility is on yourself to go seek that out, right? Take full responsibility for that. Because like with my dad, he's like in the trade, right? He knows the trade of plumbing, but he doesn't know anything about business. So he always says, I go do the work, you deal with the business. So there's the vast majority of business decisions and figuring it out, if not everything, is ultimately on me, you know? So yeah, I can lean on him for experience. Like, well, how much would this normally cost in the plumbing world? Things like that, right? But everything else. So I've taken on full responsibility for getting the education I need, taking classes, reading all the books, all the podcast, plumbing podcasts, you know, whatever. And reaching out to, like, you know, within the female woman community, it's very supportive, right? I mean, I guess it could be competitive, but there's this like wave of like collaboration. I don't feel like I've experienced that competitiveness. I feel like here in Austin is very collaborative. So I've taken the responsibility of plugging into, you know, Society of We, for example, like entrepreneur networks like that, the Women's Roundtable, and just putting myself out there, which is time consuming, and it's, you can feel vulnerable, you know, you don't know what you don't know, you know? So I would say that it's your responsibility to just get out there and lean on people and ask. Like, when I was just starting, if there's anybody who's kind of just starting and they're like, well, I didn't come from, yes, my father was doing his own thing, but I don't come from what I would say is like an entrepreneurial family, you know? So seeking that out, you know, you have to be proactive in that. And when I was starting, I didn't have that. So I was teaching. There's nobody in like the school that like I can talk to about this, right? So I had to be proactive in seeking out people. Like Karina was one of the first people that I sought out. And she was like far from a distance. I just saw, now with Instagram, you know, you see people everywhere. So if you see people that are doing things that maybe you don't want to do, I didn't want to go into events necessarily like Karina did at that time. But she was doing something that was like, what's happening over there? You know? So like get curious and reach out to those people. Be okay being vulnerable. Like, and I remember that email. I was like, I don't really know what I want to do or what, but you know, can we hang out? Can I have coffee? Where do you work? Can I just go work near you and like read a book? Like, I don't know, you know? So leaning on community is paramount. And if you're just starting, get in those, that's how you're going to learn what other people that are at your level are doing. And then you'll see other people who are already, you know, into their businesses, profitable, thriving. Okay. What does that look like? You're not there, but you know, that's what you're aspiring to in your own craft. So, you know, what are they doing? What was their track? What little stepping stones did they take? How can I take those stepping stones in my life, you know? And you're not going to know that unless you're around people and you're talking and you're asking questions.
So for women entrepreneurs out there who maybe currently are in the male-dominated industry, maybe, I mean, not like plumbery, maybe all different kind of male-dominated industry. So, and how to get this personality like you to not be intimidated, you know, in that kind of industry. Yeah, like is there any tips to be confident? You know?
I mean, my motto is competency breeds confidence. So when you got to do your work, you know, you got to learn, you got to know what you're talking about. When you have, you know, it's like when you're prepared for something, you feel better. When you looked over the notes the night before for something, you just feel better going into it, right? So it's that same concept. So if you're playing in a field like tech or something like that, where you know your skill, or in anything, if you know your skill, I think it takes practice of putting yourself out there and just trying, trying. And I think that if we think, you know, oh, people are not gonna take me serious, or what if they think I don't know, or well, everybody's been here longer, or you know, when you start thinking, this goes back to mindset. When you start thinking those thoughts, you'll mirror that, and you will see. So, have you ever been in a situation where like you feel a little insecure, maybe about something you wore that day? And you're like, I shouldn't have worn these. These pants are too tight. Like they're showing my crack or something. I don't know. And so you're sitting there, and all you're thinking about is the mishap that you shouldn't have worn that, right? And you feel like the entire classroom or room that you're in is like looking. And it's like, not everybody's really looking at us, you know? So if you would just kind of look up, I remember being that way in school, I'd feel insecure about something on my person. And then I'd be like looking down, like I'm sure everyone's noticing. And then I would literally look up, you know? I would literally look up and look around, and literally not a soul was looking at me, you know? And it's like, it's that very like self-centric idea that we have, that everyone's always about us, right? So don't assume the worst. Don't assume that people are gonna think you don't know what you're talking about, or you don't belong here, or, you know, assume that people have good intent. And that, so when I go into room, I assume like, hey, I was invited here just like you, you know, like I've done the work too. I've done the homework, you know, so I deserve to be here too. Yeah. And so if I assume that I deserve to be here and I want to be here and I've done what it takes to get here too, naturally I'm going to assume that other people are thinking that too, you know, and that other people want me there too and are willing to help. And if they're a little bit ahead of me, I assume, because I know I'm that way. I know I'm willing to help people, you know, and go have coffee with people that are just like, you know, I'm having coffee with someone after this. It's like, they reached out on Instagram and they're just like, you know, I'm not around so many people that are like going places I want to go. And I don't know where I want to go either, but I want to be around people who do know, you know? So if I can lend a little bit, I have to eat lunch today, you know? So it's like, I'll just go eat lunch with her. And, you know, so, because I know that's true about me, I assume other people are willing to do the same for me. You know?
Yeah, that's really good. Like, you attract what you think.
For sure.
If you think positively and you think nice about people, I think you will attract that part of people to you.
Yeah.
I learned about that yesterday, actually. I mean, I went to the Woman Speak. So it's like, if you're not confident, people can feel it and they can feel not confident as well when you not feel confident.
Yeah.
Yes. But when you feel relaxed and you feel calm with them, you know, like easygoing, they also open up themselves. And yeah, so it's actually people become what we think of them sometimes.
It takes practice. Like, I think it takes practice doing it, you know, and just telling yourself whatever your little rituals are to tell yourself before you show up in a place that you're unsure about, or before you reach out to someone or ask for help, you know, just practice it, try, you know, and get more comfortable doing it, because it is a skill that you have to kind of, it's a muscle you have to start flexing, you know, and it's going to feel weird the first time or the first few times, you know.
So is there any other tips that you would like to share for women business owner out there? Maybe women entrepreneur, like some of them maybe just start dreampreneurs. Yes. Yeah. Some of them like still afraid to step out from their full-time job.
I think at all levels of entrepreneurship, whether you're starting or you're not even out, like you said, you're still in the corporate job, you haven't made that leap, and everybody will tell you, is like, you just have to start, you know? If you're in a startup and you've already made that leap, I would say your focus needs to be making money. So we get, me, myself included, I love all the cute things, you know, so we get distracted with, branding, logos, you know, what other people are doing on Instagram and things like that. And that's not what makes money at the end of the day. At some point, yes, those things do make money. Our brand has made us money at some point. But the first year I wasn't worried about branding. We had a different name. We had no branding, you know? So it was just like, we're shaking this out this first year and we just need clients, you know? We need to make money, because nothing else matters if you haven't made money yet, you know? You're investing in the wrong things if you're not making money yet, if you're worried about your logo and things like that. Assuming your capital is like limited. I'm assuming your capital is limited. So just get out there and try and make money. You know, I'm telling you, the momentum you get once you start making money, nothing can replace that. The confidence that comes from that, the skills that come from that, you're thrust in there and you have no choice but to figure it out. So I would say, just for startup people who are already doing it, just focus on making money, focus on the calls or the outreach, whatever you have to do, whatever your sales model is, to make money. And then if you're in the corporate and you maybe have a passion or you have an idea brewing that you want to move towards, for that, I would say to make sure that your idea has a place in the market, you know? So, and you can create a marketplace for anything, but let's just say you enjoy baking. You know, and so you have your corporate job, but that isn't doing it. And you just love baking and okay. So for that, I would say, well, start. Again, it goes back to start making money. Don't leave your freaking job yet, you know, but just until you start selling the cookies. So it's like, sell them, get out there. People need to know. Like, I've mentored someone recently and it's like, great. Nobody knows that you're interested in that. I don't know. you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, getting people to care is a different thing later. But get out there, start posting pictures, do the most basic things. Yeah. Like, you know, start taking pictures of what your passion is, start sharing, like, oh, I didn't know she was interested in cooking, or I didn't know she was interested in interior design, or you know what I'm saying? So it's like, start sharing that part of you. And I'm in that place too, where it's like, I'm known as, you know, I own a plumbing company, but now that I'm starting to consult women entrepreneurs on the side, it's like, who would know that? People just like, oh, I just know you own the plumbing company and that's going great for you and that's it, you know? So until I start sharing that other side of me and sharing that other side of you, people just simply won't know, you know, and you won't make money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's really good. So for women out there who wants to know more about you, especially you still doing the consultation for women entrepreneur. So where can they find you?
Yeah. So if you need a plumber and you're in Austin first, if you need a plumber and you're in Austin, that's austinplumbery.com and it's plumber with a Y. Austin, P-L-U-M-B-E-R-Y, austinplumbery.com. And again, we're just local. And so for my consulting, I deal with women business owners who are typically, you know, in the six figures at this point, that are struggling to manage their money and keep their money. So if you're interested in any of my consulting services or anything like that, coaching services, that's also, you could find me actually on my website for that, which is Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Whitby, W-H-I-T-B-Y, deborahwhitby.com. So as women, we focus a lot on our craft, which is great, the things that we're good at, our passions and things like that. So I think the challenge for women is to learn how to combine what you're passionate about and what makes you feel whole and excited as a person with how you can make money so that you can have the great impact that women are here to have and that we all want to have on our family and our community and on ourselves. So I'm very passionate about like helping abused kids. So I volunteer, I do one-on-one things like that, but I have visions for a larger impact, right? So how can I do that? At some level, it's gonna cost money at some point, you know? So in the back of my mind, I always think, you know, if I grow this company, not just for the sake of having a multi-million dollar company, no, if I do that, my employees can have experiences and my kids, my family, of course, my son, my family. But it's so that we can fund these children's shelters and have more children's shelters for kids who have been abused. So there's always this greater level of impact that women want to have. And I feel like it's unfortunate because we're so passionate, we're so giving, we're so generous, but yet we're also the ones that are often so limited in our finances or in our perception of around money. So having that conversation around women, like this is how you keep it, this is how you manage it, just this is another tool in your toolbox, let's move on and get to the real business of why we're here, which is to make an impact.
Yeah, that is a true impact that we can make because like, yeah, you're not only out there with your passion, but you're out there, truly you have the power to really make an impact because it's cost money in the end of the day. That is really true. Oh my God, I'm so blown away.
And that's assuming they want to turn it into, if you want to just have a hobby, that's different. But we're talking to people who want to turn their passions into a business, right? If you don't want to turn it into a hobby, don't worry about making money. On your hobby, you spend money on your hobby. You know, I spend money on crafts and journals and things like that. But if I wanted my crafts and my journals to make money for me, well, that's a totally different conversation. And so, yeah, you can't get around what I call minding your money. You got to mind your money at some point. But that's why I say some people always feel like, well, I'm not at that level yet. You know, I'm not. That's what I said. If you're not there, your first goal is making money. Yeah. And we can worry about managing it later. But you got to get those clients in. You got to just get out there and get on the field and start making money.
Because when you start and it's when that problem of that level come, then the ideas of how to solve it is there. But before you start, nothing, you know, like if you want to start to managing
head.
And everything first, it's just like everything in your head, but you're not doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those things will come when the student is ready, the teacher will, you know that saying, the teacher will arrive, and the teacher isn't always a form of a person. Once you're getting out there, you know, like you said, once those problems occur, you'll figure out the solutions. Like it's just, it's one step at a time. Everyone tries to get from the bottom floor to the second floor by taking the elevator. There's no elevator. Like, we got to take the stairs. Mm-hmm. And we got to take them one step at a time. And for a lot of people, the first step is making money. Mm-hmm. Then when you're making money, the next step becomes something else. Like, how do I manage it? How do I use this money to make other decisions, you know? Yeah. So it's like, just take the step that's in front of you, mm-hmm. you know? And for a lot of people, that's learning to make the money first. Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. This is really good. All you guys, don't forget to keep grinding and stay tuned for the next Dreampreneurs Chat show. Okay, thank you guys. Bye-bye. For a self-made woman like
me. This podcast is available on iTunes and other major podcast platforms. If you like the show, please subscribe and give your rating and review on iTunes. That means a lot to help the show keep going. You can also watch the video podcast series at youtube.com/Lydia Isnanto. See you on the next brand new chat. Until then, remember to share your story with someone, because you never know how one sentence of your life story could inspire others to rewrite their own.